CliffCentral.com.
Rosie Thomas has just finished and allowed us to take advantage of the incredible work that must have gone into years and years of production around the series called Dynasties, which is on BBC Earth. She's the director and producer. And Rosie has put together, along with her team, an incredible show. It's the first time the BBC has brought a female natural history filmmaker to South Africa to give a new perspective on their landmark shows. And this is absolutely one of the most interesting shows I've seen. I've only seen the promo, and I'm already completely taken. This is the new David Attenborough BBC Natural History series, and it centers on five endangered species: chimpanzees, tigers, emperor penguins, lions, and painted wolves or African wild dogs. They're all in dwindling habitats. They all have tremendous challenges in their lives. The chimps were filmed in Senegal, and the shoot took 309 days. The crew regularly woke up at 3:30 a.m. See, can you imagine that? Just to follow chimpanzees around? Yeah, that's a trick.
And we complain about, you know, waking up early just to sit in the comfort of the studio. We wake up 3:30, out in the wild.
And you have to walk 15 miles to find the troop of endangered chimps.
Oh, no, thanks.
The penguins. Penguins were filmed in Antarctica and took 11 months on the ice shelf, 6 months of filming. That's no pleasant place to be for that long. The lions were filmed in the Masai Mara Game Reserve in Kenya. It took 420 days. The African wild dogs were filmed in the Mana Pools National Park in Zimbabwe and took 669 days to film. And those animals are incredible. Their social behavior, their hunting, they're just incredible and very rare. Hard to find and then hard to stay with because they cover such ground. The tigers, filmed in the Bandavar Game Reserve, which is in India, took 220 days to film. So she's here with us, the woman who's behind all of this. It's such a pleasure to welcome. Rosie, it's so nice to see you. Rosie, you've been a producer at the BBC since October 2005. Is this your favorite thing so far?
Yes, absolutely. It's probably the thing I'm absolutely most proud of as well. It was such a it took such endeavor to make the film, and it's so the sense of achievement at the end of it was massive, actually. Yeah,
the amount of time spent and the number of cameras that must have been rolling and the amount of footage that you then had to put together and into a show, this is a project of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big time investment. I think from start to finish, the production took 4 years. So, we started back at the end of 2014, and we've just finished. So, it was a long time investment, and then within that, for the chimps episode, anyway, we filmed over a period of just over 2 years. So it was 309 days over the course of just over 2 years. So, yeah, it was a lot of time.
And not always in the most hospitable places.
No. Senegal, the chimps in Senegal, they're in a very different type of habitat to where you usually see chimps. So there isn't sort of lush green forest. It's very savanna-driven territory. So it's kind of this mosaic of habitat. And it's very hot and it's very dry, and their territory there is 92 square kilometers, so it's massive. And we had to do it all on foot, so it was in temperatures often exceeding 40 degrees. So yeah, it was tough.
You actually follow these animals, these five animals that you name, the five heads of these dynasties, and to my mind, you treat them in the bit that I've seen as individuals. You give them the opportunity to show off their personality, their terror, their love, their family relationships, the things that they strive for every day. And it almost felt to me like it was a documentary that you would make for a human. It must have been very difficult to not impose human qualities on these animals, but you must have seen things that maybe haven't ever been observed at such close quarters before.
Yeah, well, I think what we tried to do across the series was we chose five of the most iconic, but five of the most endangered animals. And then within those species, we then tried to find a group that was at a real kind of turning point. And then within those groups, we then tried to find the individuals that we felt would were kind of at a key moment. And so for the chimps, that's the alpha male chimp. And the lions, it's the head female of the pride. What we wanted to do was show you what it's like for those leaders of those families, of those groups, to survive in the, and keep their family alive, and keep their position of leadership. And we had to do that. The best way to do that is to do it from an individual's perspective, and really be able to see what life is like for that individual. And so for the chimps, it's very much about staying leader and what life is like for an alpha male chimpanzee. And I can tell you, after following them for 309 days, it's a lot tougher than I ever thought it would be.
Did you feel that when you were filming it all, you were either getting in the way or that you were getting attached to the outcome, that you were becoming involved with these animals? And did any of your cameramen do that? Did anybody else on the production crew start to feel like that? Because that's obviously dangerous. It makes you part of the story, and you shouldn't be.
No, absolutely. I mean, what we did across the series was we worked with scientists who study all of these animals. And that meant that we were able to have quite unique access, but it also meant that we were able to have quite be in a position where we knew a lot of about those animals. So for the chimps, the scientist that I worked with has studied that troop for nearly 20 years. And so she knew all of the individuals. She knew that every single chimp has a very different personality. And so she could give us insights into their personalities. She knew their social history, their life history. So she knew whose mother and son and all that kind of stuff.
The whole family tree.
Exactly. So as a result of that, we were in this really unique position with such incredible access. But it also meant that group of chimps were entirely used to having people around, because she'd followed them for such a long time and habituated them to her presence. And so we worked alongside them, and we're using their protocols and such like. And as a result, the chimps, they knew we were there, but they just carry on and go about their daily lives. And, you know, if they didn't want us around, they'd just lose us. You know, you can't follow them. And when you're carrying 80 kilos of kit between you and you're on foot, if they don't want you around, they just leave.
Just leave.
Yeah.
But you got some incredible footage, again, from the very little bit, the tiniest fragment of all of this incredible stuff. I got the impression that you have such amazing close access, and you know, you sort of have drone footage, and you have you can climb the trees with these animals. It feels almost as if you're completely uninhibited in terms of your ability to access these animals, whether they're up, down, left, right, fast, slow. How did you do that?
Well, I think one of the things that we really tried to do across the series was make the audience really feel like they're embedded in that group, and they're going on that journey across that 2-year period with those animals. And, you know, and trying to tell a chimp story, I had to get into David's head. David is the alpha male chimp, not David Attenborough, who narrates it.
Who's our alpha male chimp.
Yeah, exactly. I really had to get into David's head to try and tell the story from his perspective, and to try and bring the audience in and feel connected with him, and feel like they're going on that journey with him also. You know, part of that was to try and get a lot of those really close shots, and that was just purely thanks to the scientists and the field assistants that we worked with, who were able to get us into those positions to safely film those shots without affecting the behavior of the animals in any way.
Is it by chance that you started with the chimpanzees, or is it because they are the most interesting to us because we're also primates? Chimpanzees are fascinating. They're our closest relatives. And when we watch them, we probably see a lot of ourselves in them, and they probably see something of themselves in us. And maybe that's why you went straight to the chimpanzees, because we'll get to the other animals in a second. But what did you see, and what did you learn about these animals that you didn't know before? And what do you think people who watch Dynasties will learn about David and the other chimps?
I think across the series, we've been able to, just by being there for such a long time, we've been able to film really unique behaviours and things that we just haven't been able to see before on TV. And by telling these types of stories, I think also it's just a really new, unique way of being able to show natural history, which I think is in itself is quite important. But I think that what I learned mostly from the chimps was just how, like, their society. I want people to come away realizing what society is like for chimps, and how tough their life is actually. Most of it's about internal conflict, and you know, the battle for power and the battle for siring the next generation and trying to keep your dynasty alive. But also just the other impact on them from their habitat, because where they live, there's quite extreme seasons, and you know, they have to battle wildfires and quite long periods of drought and things like that. And you know, just to see what life is like for that group of chimps, I think it was extraordinary for me to witness, but I think hopefully the viewer will be able to see that as well.
Well, chimps are quite brutal animals, actually, and they give no quarter to each other or to any invader of their territory. Were there any moments where you were afraid?
I think one thing I should point out is I think in this film they are aggressive, and you obviously see that side, but I think you also see the other side of them as well, which is a much more caring community,
social
community. Yeah, so hopefully you come away with seeing both of those. But yeah, they can be very aggressive. They're very strong as well. I have to say, I never felt threatened by them at all. They never, to them, we were just there, but they never were bothered by us. When they have fights, there's obviously quite a lot of screaming and shouting and racing about, and you know, at those moments you sort of get a bit tense, but you know, it's never directed at you. But this particular group of chimps, they do throw rocks, so they pick up these huge boulders off the ground, and they're heavy. I can barely lift them myself, and they hurl them at each other. And those were the moments where I sort of would always think, maybe we should just step back a little way.
The equipment, for no other reason but to not have the equipment destroyed.
But at that moment you don't care about the equipment.
Oh really?
you're more worried about your safety. But no, to be perfectly frank, I was never really worried at all about working around them. And I was just eternally fascinated to watch how, even within the fights, there's sort of these political maneuverings as to who will chase after who, and you know, and sometimes just everybody gets stuck in, and you're just thinking, "God, this is crazy. What's going on?" So, it's extraordinary behaviour to witness.
And there's some very unpleasant things about filming animals in Senegal that have nothing to do with the animals you're filming. I mean, tsetse flies and mosquitoes and bees and all kinds of things. Those are not pleasant.
No, it's not bad enough to be on foot walking up to 15 miles a day in 40 degree heat, carrying a huge amount of equipment. You've then got, sweat bees are the worst. Absolutely
what,
the worst.
What is a sweat bee? I don't think we get these here.
Sweat bees, they're quite small, little stingless bees. So they don't sting, they don't bite, but they swarm around your head and or around you, and they want to drink your sweat. And obviously when it's 40 degrees and you're carrying a lot of kit,
that's revolting. You, animals.
Yeah, exactly. But they try to go for anything that's moist. So they try and fly in your eyes and up your nose and in your ears and your mouth.
Oh God.
I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, it's horrible.
Sweat bees.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ever go anywhere where you have to encounter sweat bees. But and then you've got the, when tsetse fly season, that was pretty bad as well. And there was a lot of scorpions around. And there was one day we were sitting waiting for the chimps to come out of a bush, and the field assistant clicked his fingers and pointed at our feet. And there was a scorpion the size of my hand that had just come out of the leaf litter next to our shoes. And we sort of leapt up. And I don't think me or the cameraman sat down for the rest of that day. We were too worried about
goodness.
It. But yeah, so there was a lot of nasties along the way.
Obviously, when you're around animals like this, you develop, I suppose, an idea of what they're thinking. And this is really what everybody tries to divine when we're watching a great documentary like this. You try to get inside the head of that animal. Do you think that you got close to figuring out the very basic psychology? Obviously, you won't know everything, of a chimp. What kinds of revelation were made available to you after so much observation? Because scientists have spent hundreds of years trying to figure out how we relate to other animals and how they relate to us, but how they relate to each other is really something that we've only started to get any kind of idea of in the last maybe 40, 50 years.
I think one of the most important things in this series, and especially in the chimps, because they are so like us, was to not anthropomorphize too much.
Yeah.
Because what we don't want to do is impose human emotion on the chimps. I think there's definitely times when I felt like that was probably what they were thinking, but there's no way of absolutely definitely telling that. And so that was what I tried to be very careful in the film, to never impose any kind of thought process on or emotion onto the chimps. But one thing that I definitely witnessed when I was there is that they are very political. And so I don't want to call them cunning, but it was sort of that kind of thing where, you know, nothing is ever done for free. Everything that they do seems to be quite a calculated move for something that they might get back in the future. So, you know,
sound just like politicians.
They'll share food. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'll share food with somebody, but it's not for free. They're expecting something back from that individual, whether it's tomorrow or in a week. Yeah, exactly. They do remember. And I think that was just something, witnessing that, I just thought, gosh, these creatures are really so intelligent that they have the foresight to know that by doing something, they'll get something back in the future. And that process of thought is really, I mean, that's quite highly intelligent. And I think that was something that really was a revelation. But I think you just can't help but see us in them and them in us, it was fascinating to watch it all play out.
Do you have a hand in how it's all edited and put together, or is that a whole other department?
No. So I made the whole chimp film from start to finish,
from beginning to end.
Yeah.
How many hours did you spend doing this? I mean, forget the actual trying to get the footage. How many hours did you spend in a studio editing and reviewing and changing? And it must have been incredibly tough. Yeah, I mean, what a project.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of footage. I mean, obviously, you know, we were filming over 2 years.
And how much gets thrown away?
Quite a lot, yeah. I mean, this was the thing that was really difficult for these projects, because we spent so much time in the field with these animals, as you were saying before, hundreds of days. You know, we just have so much footage, and we witnessed behaviours that are just extraordinary, and we filmed behaviours that were extraordinary, but we could only fit some of them in the film. So,
sure.
So
that's, you know, the hard part, right? How exactly long do you have in the film that you had to distill everything into?
So the film is 50 minutes long, so, you know, we've got hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours of footage going down into 50 minutes.
Wow.
And so you know what, so what I can guarantee you is the moments that you see in the film are just the most extraordinary bits of behavior and in every single film in the series there's new behavior that's never been seen before. And that's like a really extraordinary thing to have achieved, especially when you realise that when we set out to make this series, it was incredibly high risk. We had no idea what was going to happen. I think David Attenborough said to the executive producer, Mike Gunton, that he thought we were all crazy because, you know, he thought we were nuts because we were basically heading out into the field for a 2-year stretch.
Wow.
And we had no idea what was going to happen, and nothing could have happened at all. And yet what we actually managed to capture was just these extraordinary scenes. And you'll have to see.
But in telling the story, you start filming a certain troop of chimpanzees. You don't know what's going to happen to them. You don't know whether they'll all survive. You don't know if by the end of the film you're going to have your main character there.
Exactly. Yeah, we literally had no idea. I mean, the reason I chose the particular group that we followed was because, and it was the same with all of the films, we tried to find individuals that were at a bit of a turning point. And for the chimps, we knew that the alpha male had been alpha for 3 years. And that's sort of the usual tenure length for an alpha in that group. So we knew that there might be
not
some...
Not dissimilar to politicians again.
Exactly. I know. There's a lot of similarities that can be drawn. So we knew that there was probably going to be some jostling amongst the younger males to try and overthrow him. That was one of the reasons that we actually went for that group in the first place.
And have you spoken to, in the ensuing months since the editing and the footage and all the rest of it was captured, have you spoken to the people who produced the other films? Have you compared them? Have you guys compared notes? What sorts of observations did you have from all of them that you thought were interesting in respect of what you did with the chimps?
We all sit in the same office, so we'd obviously all go into the field and then come back, you know, we'd sort of be backwards and forwards quite a lot over the filming period. And so we were all very much across all the films.
Were you a bit jealous of any of them at any time?
No, I think they're all very different. And I think
not jealous of being in Antarctica for a whole year.
No, definitely not. I have a lot of respect for the team that went to Antarctica because they were there. They went 11 months straight. So they flew out there and they didn't come back for 11 months.
Such an inhospitable place.
Yeah. And I think it was tough.
I think you'd rather have had the sweat bees.
Yeah, I would take the sweat bees over Antarctica. But we all discussed our stories a lot and we all knew about them all. And to be perfectly frank, we were all quite obsessive about our stories.
Is there a bit of friendly competition?
No, I think we were just all really as supportive of each other and just utterly fascinated in the different stories that were unfolding as we went along because, you know, we all didn't know what was going to happen and all of us had these stories that unfolded that none of us really expected on all five films. And just to be in those places, to be able to capture that and be in that unique position to be able to capture these stories... was just incredible. And I think that, we just all, being quite obsessive about them, wanted to talk about them all the time to anybody that would listen. So I think we all kind of knew what everyone else was doing. And that kind of, you know, it's also, you need a lot of motivation to keep going for such a long time as well.
Sure, of course, because it's very easy to lose interest or to become a bit bored with the process, not with the footage or with the story, but with the process of having to go into the studio every day and having to press play and having to stop and having to make notes and cut this out, put that in. I mean, it's a very time-consuming and I'd imagine quite painstaking operation.
Yeah, especially in the editing process, it's because you've just got so much footage and you want to get it all in and you're like, how can we get in all of these amazing things?
Yeah.
And you know, the process for the chimps was purely, you know, it was David's story, and I wanted for people to feel like David was telling his own story. And so, you know, the way I filtered it out was, I thought, well, is this relevant to David's story? Is this adding to people's understanding of what life is like for him? And if it wasn't, that was kind of the way I had
it
to sort
to go out.
Yeah.
But how does it work in terms of Sir David Attenborough then? Because he narrates the stories, mm-hmm. and you have an executive producer who's put the whole series together.
Yeah.
How does the story that you were going to tell dovetail into the story that perhaps Sir David Attenborough wants to tell, or that the executive producer wants to tell across all the different films. How do you manage that process? I'm fascinated about how it all comes together.
So I think, well, Mike Gunton is the executive producer. He also executive produced Planet Earth 2. He's, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Sure. You're in good hands.
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, he had an idea of what he wanted the series to be, and he wanted us to choose five iconic animals that were also five of the most endangered species, for us to go and be able to tell the reality of the lives for them, and you know, these unique stories about families and leadership.
But what I'm asking is, you take your story that you've decided is that's the tale that you want to tell. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you give it to Sir David Attenborough, and you say, "All right, now you can do your narration over this."
Yeah. So basically,
that's quite, you're telling him what to do. I like the idea of this.
Well, Mike came up with the idea in the first place. That was the first thing. He then takes that to David and says, "David, we want to do this. What do you think?" He says, "I think you're nuts, but go for it." So, okay. You know, you go, okay. Then it comes to us. There's the producers, and we then say, "Okay, well, I want." You know, you want me to make a film about chimps. I think this is the group that we should go to. Mike says, "Yeah, agreed. Let's go for it." And then, because we didn't know what was going to happen, we literally couldn't. You know, we just had to follow it day by day. You know, I was directing.
It's not like writing a book.
No. I was literally making directorial decisions day by day as to which way to follow the story and which individual to follow. And I mean, it was quite, it's a very different way of making a film to how natural history is normally made. I think that's what makes this quite a special series and quite different. And then you kind of get to the end of it and you say, right, well, we've got all this footage. What's the best way through this footage to tell David's story? Then we edit the film, and then the script of the film that we've edited that goes to David Attenborough, and then David has his input on how if there's things he thinks that we should change, or how you know, if there's wording that he doesn't agree with, or you know, such like, and he puts his little spin on it, and then he narrates it. But that's how from start to finish, that's how the whole thing works.
It's absolutely incredible. You must be very proud of this now, and you must be very excited for us to see it. I know there was a special screening which you had. What was the audience reaction to it?
Oh, incredibly positive. Everyone was blown away by it, actually. And I think last night that the proudest thing for me was there was a group of young film students at the screening, young female film students, and they were just they came to me, talk to me afterwards, and they were so inspired by what they'd just seen, and they just had so many questions, and I just thought, you know, that for me is, you know, people being able to come away understanding chimp society and what life is like for an alpha, but then also being inspired by the film to want to go and make their own film, and want to do things to help protect wildlife. That's, you know, then I feel like I've done my job. So yeah, I felt really proud last night.
Well, I'm sure anyone who sees it will know that you've more than done your job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I can't say enough good things about it. And again, I'm speaking from the point of view of someone who hasn't even seen a whole film. But if you want to see something that is absolutely breathtaking and awe-inspiring, Rosie Thomas is the director and producer of the Chimpanzee film in this series. It's incredible. It's called Dynasties, and it's on BBC Earth. And you can watch all of that on BBC Earth over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be magic. Thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.